This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. Today we're checking in with Plumas County about reopening, testing, and as we get closer to Memorial Day weekend and summer, looking into one of the top concerns for residents there, tourists visiting and possibly bringing COVID-19 with them. We're also focusing on wildfire, checking in with the Redding Fire Department's fire marshal about this year's predicted fire season, and signing up for your county's emergency alert system. If you have story ideas or questions for us, let us know on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Wednesday, May 20th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. Now, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Daily deaths from the coronavirus in California surged back over the 100 mark, grim news following several days when deaths ranged between a third and half that level. The California Department of Public Health recorded 102 deaths Wednesday, with total fatalities in the state now at 3,436. In all, 502 Californians have died from the virus since last week at this time. Deaths continue rising at a weekly rate of 17%. The number of confirmed cases also surged in the last 24 hours, jumping by 2,262 to 84,057. Cases are rising at a weekly rate of 18%. The number of deaths among healthcare workers rose to 46. 8,633 medical professionals have been infected. Testing statewide has ramped up. The department reports that 1.3 million tests have been administered as of Tuesday, meaning about 200,000 Californians have been tested in recent days. Public health officials across the 11 North State counties now report 161 cases, though the number of deaths remains at 8. Officials report 40 cases in Sutter County, 34 in Shasta, 30 in Butte, 28 in Yuba, 12 in Glenn, 6 in Siskiyou, 4 each in Colusa and Plumas, 2 in Tehama, and 1 in Trinity County. No cases have been identified in Lassen County. New cases were found in Butte and Colusa counties. Among the general population, infections and deaths are hitting some demographic groups harder than others. Among those 18 and older, Latinos, African Americans, and Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders are dying at disproportionately higher rates. Deaths among African Americans are about double that of Californians overall. Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders are dying at triple the rate of the overall population. Men are dying at a higher rate than women in California, in line with national trends. People receiving Medicare can get tested for COVID-19 at no cost, according to the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The location doesn't matter. According to spokesman Jack Cheevers, tests can be conducted at home, at a doctor's office, a local pharmacy or hospital, a nursing home, or a drive-through site. Medicare does not require a doctor's order for you to be tested. Homebound beneficiaries who can't travel can have Medicare pay for a trained laboratory technician to come to their home or residential nursing home to collect a test sample. When and if a vaccine is available, Medicare will cover that as well, Cheevers said. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. A little over a week ago, counties throughout California began being approved by the state for variances, allowing them to move further into stage 2 of Governor Gavin Newsom's resilience roadmap. As of Wednesday afternoon, 33 out of California's 58 counties have met the readiness criteria for reopening. We've been checking in with North State counties on that list, and today we'll hear from Lori Beatley, spokesperson for the Plumas County Public Health Agency. Plumas County has had only 4 positive confirmed cases of COVID-19 since the pandemic started. NSPR's Mark Albert recently spoke with Beatley, first asking why she thought Plumas County's number of cases has remained so low.
Well, I think there's obviously lots of factors. One of the things is when COVID-19 first came to California that we were aware of, it was during the wintertime. And I think that's it can be a factor for Plumas County. Travel to and from Plumas County is not usually that great. And we had a couple good snowstorms this last winter, which probably assisted with having less travel and people staying home. But also we're you know, population of basically 19,000 and it's 2,613 square miles. So we're kind of spread out. And I think that also is a factor. And then I think one of the big factors is that we started testing very quickly and very strongly with our healthcare facilities. They have been very supportive with this and worked really hard in testing. And therefore, we have been able to identify the cases that we have had quickly. When we identified them, we also were able to do our contact tracing investigations. And it was very quick and effective, which assisted in containing any further spread of COVID-19.
How much viral testing is happening in Plumas County as of now? And are asymptomatic people able to get tested?
We are, again, testing. We are doing targeted testing right now, as well as those who are symptomatic. And when we do targeted testing, they don't have to be symptomatic. They can be asymptomatic. We are targeting those who are at a higher likelihood to be exposed to COVID-19. So our healthcare workers, our first responders, as well as those who work in industries where they work with the public on a regular basis, like the grocery clerks. Those are the ones that we're kind of targeting at this time.
But for now, asymptomatic people who think they may have been exposed to the virus and do want to get a test, they have to be an essential worker or be able to prove some kind of transmission risk?
Yeah, at the end, ultimately, it's up to the healthcare provider who's going to be tested and who's not going to be tested. We have had some targeted outreach where we have done populations just come through and do like a small drive-through. But yes, overall, there would have to be a reason if you're asymptomatic in order to test that person, usually at least one other reason, such as being an essential worker and dealing with the public.
North State Public Radio is working on a collaborative rural reporting project with CAP Radio of Sacramento, and that involves a survey of Plumas County residents. Among the concerns people brought up were that others weren't following safety guidelines, not socially distancing. Someone reported seeing lots of handshaking going on, people not wearing masks. As you visit Quincy, Chester, Greenville, and smaller communities around Plumas County, how well would you say people are adhering to the guidelines?
I think overall there will always be some that, for whatever reason, are not as self-aware, and they know maybe don't realize what they're doing. But overall, I would say the majority of the public in those communities are adhering to it. I think we're also very sensitive to it when people are not adhering to it. So when we see anything that we feel may be in violation of those social distancing guidelines, we become more hypervigilant.
Again, going back to the recent survey for the Rural Reporting Project with CAP Radio, many who answered said that their top concern during the pandemic was outside tourists coming into the county and bringing the virus with them. Can you expand at all on the situation? I mean, many places around Plumas County rely on tourism, so it's sort of a catch-22. With Memorial Day around the corner, summer almost here, what preparations have been made?
As I said before, there is always concern of an outbreak with increased activity into the county, and that's why one of the reasons the health officer issued the order for face covering in public was to assist in mitigating with the increased traffic into Plumas County. Plumas County is continuing to increase testing capabilities with our local healthcare facilities. And so those are all precautions that we are trying to take and still encourage the public that we're doing this together. And this is something that it's not one person's responsibility. It's all our responsibility to be maintaining social distancing and following the guidelines issued by our governor. But yes, it does make a difference to our businesses, the tourism, and short of basically blocking the roads, we really have limited ability to enforce people not coming into our community.
There are concerns in the department that people from out of the area coming for a weekend getaway or something could create a serious outbreak, yeah?
Well, I wouldn't say, I mean, there's always concerns that somebody coming from outside the area, but we also have our own community who leave the area and then come back. So it goes both ways. With summertime, not only are people coming into our community, but our residents are also traveling outside of our community as well. So that's why, again, testing is very important and having a very robust containment plan. So when it is identified, the sooner a case is identified, the quicker that we can contain it, and therefore it won't spread. So that is what else we're doing in order to mitigate people coming in to our community and traveling more.
Is there anything specifically that people in the community can do to protect themselves and their employees as the summer really gets going?
Again, the best thing to do is follow the guidelines of social distancing, cleaning thoroughly, especially in common areas. Now that we have in dining, I know that the restaurants are being very particular and there are a lot of modifications that are being requested in order to maintain the cleanliness even more than it was before. So things like that and face coverings in public, all those things will assist in reducing any kind of spread that may occur in Plumas County.
Shifting gears here, we've been hearing that the pandemic has been very challenging for hospitals and that lucrative surgeries have been canceled, billings are down sharply, and even some medical workers have been laid off. Some medical facilities are even requesting some kind of bailout. Are you hearing any concerns from the small hospitals in Plumas County about their financial viability?
There are always concerns with something like this happening due to the local healthcare facilities and that the cost is significant in order to prepare for any kind of surge of cases at one time. So the healthcare facilities in Plumas County worked really hard to make sure that they were prepared. And in doing so, they had to stop doing elective surgeries. And elective surgeries is a significant form of income for our local hospitals. However, at this time, they have received some federal assistance, which will hopefully assist the hospitals in mitigating the cost of preparing for the COVID-19.
I know the hospitals or the medical facilities in Plumas County are rather limited. They're under a mandate to build an additional 30% capacity. Do you know the number of beds there are currently in the whole county?
Not off the top of my head, but I do know that they have been able to, and that was part of what we had to prove to the state in our variance, that our hospital is very capable of being able to have that 30% surge capacity.
Again, going back to that survey conducted for the Collaborative Rural Reporting Project we're working on with CAP Radio, many respondents said they were worried about isolation and mental health. What mental health resources are there for Plumas County residents? And are there any resources or public health advice you can give to people who are feeling isolated and perhaps worried about their mental health?
Yes. So we do have a very active public health with behavior health working together and collaborating. Our behavior health does have a website which addresses a lot of the COVID-19 issues. So there are resources on their website, as well as our behavior health has reached out to their own clientele. We do have some nonprofits in our community as well that have been reaching out to the public. We have Plumas Rural Services as well as Plumas Crisis Intervention. They have been very good working with the public regarding behavior health and mental health issues, because, you know, for those who have behavior health or mental health issues, sometimes obviously something like this can really exasperate it. And they have been doing a very good job in helping maintain that and assist their clients. But for those who don't always, this can bring a situational depression or anxiety on. And what we recommend is that to reach out. And I think that's the hardest thing when you're feeling depressed or you're fairly anxious. And when you're actually asked to stay home and not physically reach out to anybody, we are, though, asking people to reach out by phone, reach out by internet, anything that would help them connect to somebody else. And there are a lot of resources out there, a lot of phone numbers to contact as well on Behavior Health's website, Plumas County Behavior Health, as well as our website as well for phone numbers to contact and feel connected to somebody.
Finally, this sounds kind of random, but what's the internet connectivity like in Plumas County? In their survey, we heard that working remotely can be difficult because of a lack of internet connectivity in many areas of the county. I imagine this could also further isolate people, as many of the recommendations are to hang out with people virtually through Zoom or some other online chat service.
Yes, that has been a very difficult thing for our community. I know our school district is struggling with giving a long distance learning. All this has affected our employees, everything. Yes, our connectivity is not that great in Plumas County. There's various ways of doing it, but none of it is consistently good. And something that has been brought up because of this pandemic, because it's affected the whole community, which is another reason why we do have an informational phone line. So that's why we really encourage people to contact our informational phone line to receive updated information.
That was Lori Beatley, spokesperson for the Plumas County Public Health Agency, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. In that interview, they talked about isolation and mental health resources for Plumas County. You can find a link to those on our website, mynspr.org. You're listening to special coverage of the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. More just ahead. This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. I think it's safe to say that many of us are pretty occupied with the now, with reopening and all of the other issues unfolding around COVID-19. But we should not forget that we do need to start looking at the future too, as fire season is fast approaching and now is the time for preparation. Not just maintaining our defensible space, but also for signing up for your county's emergency alert system, such as Code Red. It's used by most of our region, including Shasta County. NSPR's Matt Fidler recently reached out to the Redding Fire Department's Fire Marshal, Craig Whitner, to learn more about this system. But the first thing he asked was if the recent rain we've received might help with the severity of this upcoming fire season.
So I'd like to think it's a little bit of wishful thinking. Rain is always nice, and it delays the inevitable a little bit, but more rain also means more vegetation growth. I like to say it's 6-1, half dozen the other. We either have a dry winter and a dry season, and maybe fire season will be here a little sooner, or we have plenty of wet weather, which is plenty of water for the vegetation to grow. Either way, summer is going to be here, and we're going to have plenty of vegetation available to burn. And so even with wet weather, all it takes is a few warm days with a little bit of wind, and that precipitation evaporates fairly rapidly.
Could you just briefly explain to people who live in the wildland-urban interface and other fire-prone areas in the North State what they should be doing now to prepare for the fire season?
People need to be taking the time now and working on their defensible space, working on preparing for upcoming fire season. And they can do that by absorbing the litany of literature that's online. There's four websites that are somewhat my favorites. They are very complete with information. The first and foremost is readyforwildfire.org. That's put on by our state fire agency, Cal Fire. It's very well put together and very inclusive of pertinent information. The other three are ready.gov, FEMA.gov, and NFPA.org. All four of those websites have all the pertinent information people need to be aware of to plan for, be prepared, both before fire season and during fire season, including what to do if fire is approaching. Staying prepared, planning to evacuate, when to go, where to go, what to do. All that information is included on those websites.
So I want to talk a little bit about this new Code Red system. Is this for the entire county of Shasta?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So who can sign up and how does it work?
So anybody can sign up for Code Red. You can visit the City of Reading website, either go to the Reading Police Department. You can go to City of Reading, the Reading Fire Department, or they can go to just Google Code Red. You can go to Shascom 911 is another way. There's a red button on there that says Code Red. All you have to do is click on it. It'll take you to an easy sign up. I went through the process this morning just to refamiliarize myself with it, and it took about 3 minutes to sign myself up, including my home phone number and my cell phone number. And by doing so, people will be then alerted via voice recording, text of an emergency or some type of an event in the area that they've registered their phones. So when I registered my home, I'll get alerts of anything that's going along in my particular area, including Amber Alerts, missing children, weather warnings, fires, evacuation notices, etc. But people have to remember that although that is an excellent way to stay informed, and staying informed is part of being prepared both before and during an event, that's just one method. I'm kind of old school, and I like to have a battery-operated AM/FM radio. So that's another thing people can do to be prepared and stay prepared, is to have a battery-operated AM/FM radio, just in case, just to have it as a backup.
So for the Code Red system, do you know what percentage of the population has signed up, or the numbers of people that have signed up?
No, I don't know the numbers of how many people sign up. I would imagine there's some type of statistics available, which I didn't look up. But the program itself has been around, I believe, since 1998. And according to the literature from Code Red, they've got thousands of various agencies that utilize Code Red to provide valuable information to people who sign up for it. And it's only as good as the information you put into it. So it doesn't cost you anything. And it takes, like I said, about 2 or 3 minutes to enter your information. And you can put in your landline number at home, including your address. You can put in as many cell phone numbers as you like, your work number, wherever you want to be notified. You will then be notified of any pertinent information.
Now, do you know if your cell phone is off or on silent mode? My phone doesn't ring when I'm sleeping at night. Will the alert system wake it up and break through?
No, not unless you have your phone set to an alert. You'll still get the information. It'll be waiting for you when you get up. But it depends on how important that information is to you, whether you want to receive it when you're sleeping or wait until you get up. But you can also have your home phone registered with Code Red. So that's another way to be notified as well. You have as many numbers as you want.
There were lots of stories that I heard, especially during the campfire, which is closer to where I am in Chico, where people were signed up but didn't get the messages. Is the system being hardened in a way to make sure that a larger percentage of the people who sign up get those messages?
I've been advised that they have made improvements to the system and hardened the infrastructure, but it's not foolproof. So you need to have that. If you call that plan A, you should have a plan B. That's where, you know, something as simple, the old technology comes into play, to have a battery operated radio. You know, the cell phones and technology is very convenient these days, and it's part of our everyday lives, but it is subject to failure. It is only, it's not foolproof. So always have a plan B.
Is the Code Red system tested to try to improve the reliability and hardiness of it?
I've been told that it's tested on a regular basis. I'm unaware of how they verify how many people get the information. I know they test it on a regular basis, like I said, but I'm not sure how that process works.
Okay. So you did mention that, yeah, and we've talked about this a little bit already, that cell towers can often go out, and so people won't necessarily receive those messages, especially if they only have a cell phone system, or if they're maybe out of the house, not near a landline. I haven't had a landline myself in a dozen years. Are there kind of more analog backup systems in place? Like, I feel like there used to be kind of air horns used to be a very regular, common alert system to the public for various reasons. Are kind of more analog systems being considered or used?
They are. You know, when you mentioned mass notification systems, the typical air horns like they do have on the coast for tsunami warnings, again, I favor that type of system. And at least for the Reading area, we have considered exploring what type of potential that may provide. Again, it's older technology. There are those, I've talked to other fire marshals throughout the state that have made recommendations to go back to mass notification system, which again is older technology. But I think what you want is to have a blanket effect where you don't rely on any one system. And so that's where the individual citizen comes into play. Don't rely on any one system to be foolproof. Have a backup and a plan B, including if one particular person signs up for code red and they're relying on that device, mobile device or otherwise, to receive information, consider getting other family members also out of the area signed up for warning events as well, to kind of spread the likelihood that, you know, an entire family may be notified versus just one person. So increase your chances of staying informed by spreading the information.
That seems like pretty good advice to me. You've answered all the questions that I had. Is there, do you have any answers to questions I didn't ask that maybe I should have?
No, just folks needing, you know, I just like to say that people living in California are used to wildfire. And one of the problems is us as humans, we become complacent or desensitized to major events. If you live in California, any other fire prone state, you're used to fires going on throughout the summertime. And it's human nature to become complacent and kind of desensitized to think that, well, the good guys are going to show up and save the day. We do the best we can, but we can't save everything. We can't be everywhere at one time. Folks need to take responsibility for themselves, stay informed, be prepared, and follow the directions that that people like me are giving folks. Go to those websites, read the information, and make it applicable to them. You know, bad things don't always happen to other people. Sometimes bad things strike us when we least expect it, but they need to take action. You know, be informed, stay informed, take action, reach out to the local fire authorities for advice. Our job is to make sure that we reduce the risk for people that we work for. Take our information to heart and do something with it.
That was Craig Whitner, Fire Marshal for the Reading Fire Department, speaking with NSPR's Matt Fidler. As Whitner said in that interview, there are many resources online to learn about how to create defensible space around your home and also to learn how to be prepared in the event of a wildfire. We'll have links to all four of the websites he mentioned on our website, mynspr.org. We've also included links to the emergency notification systems for all of the counties in the North State so you can make sure you're signed up. And that is your program. As always, if you have thoughts for us, we'd love to hear from you. And we are still hoping you'll reach out and let us know if you've been tested for COVID-19 or not. If you have, why did you get tested? And if you haven't, why haven't you gotten tested? Let us know on our message line, 433-9216, or you can email us at nsprnews@csuchico.edu. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30 or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and if you haven't yet, take 5 minutes to go to our website and get signed up for your county's emergency alert system.